Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, May 19, 2015. A South Sudanese American has gone on a hunger strike and is calling on U.S. President Barack Obama to end the 17-month-long conflict.
Southern Sudan is an American baby, and that baby is dying, and we're calling for the dad, who happened to be the United States, come and save your baby.
And a renegade SPLA officer says his forces have destroyed a military boat in Upper Nile State.
170 is the one that is counted, that died within the gunboat inside there. But for the rest, they jumped, and many of them drowned. Because of boots and the uniforms.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Western Bahr al-Ghazal State Ministry of Trade and Cooperatives yesterday received 35 metric tons of food purchased at a reduced price for state employees. The goal is to help employees who don't earn enough money to meet the rising cost of food in the state. Dimo Silva Uralio has more for VOA from WOW.
James Ernest Makwi, Western Bahr al-Ghazal's Minister of Trade and Cooperatives, considers the food purchase to be a rescue of sorts for many state workers and their families who might otherwise go hungry in the coming months. Makwi says state employee salaries simply have not kept pace with steeply rising prices in local markets. He says state officials spend 300,000 South Sudanese pounds to purchase the food commodities for employees whose salaries do not exceed 300 South Sudanese pounds per month, who will be eligible to buy the food at reduced prices.
I formed a committee heading by the Director General to sit and make a frame for distributions and also to make a price of these communities and say that the ministries, the old ministries, may have something to be given to them according to the law of the cooperative. They will see the price in the market and our price will be low. It will not be like the price of the market.
Makwe says his ministry is already exhausting the first installment of $100,000, part of the $200,000 the state government allocated last month for employee food supplies during May and June. But Makwe's big worry is that as the rainy season intensifies, food trucks will not reach the intended recipients because roads could become impassable.
This food, it is a pledge bid, and we are working slowly and sure. If we find this food will not keep all, the minister will make timetable. These months will tribute the Paris Ministry, and the other months will tribute for those who are didn't receive in this month. It is a program in the ministry, really. It is a program in the ministry that will work until the price will come down.
Employees at the Education Ministry were excited about the news of food reaching their offices, where they can buy it at a discount prices. Martha Richard Ukele says her family has been forced to go from eating 3 meals each day to only 1 or 2.
People are almost, in homes getting malnourished because of lack of enough food. The food which is being consumed in the houses these days is not the one that was consumed 2 or 3 months before when we are in dry season. If we started it right now when roads are still dry and when we get into the mid-rainy season, with this present situation, I think we are going to experience a lot of challenges, a lot of death, a lot of malnutrition in children, and our hospitals will be overflooded with sick people.
Though Martha appreciates the provision of affordable food, she thinks many children are becoming angry with their parents and will boycott school because they are hungry.
We only need food at present situation to reduce the situation that is happening now in most of the homes. Some children go to sleep hungry. They cannot come to schools and perform as usual because they are hungry. You will get in the morning when mothers are waking their children to prepare and go to schools. They cannot manage to get up because they have slept hungry. They did not get tea for that morning. then the child will be aggressive and will not listen to the parents. And if we continue like this, till the end of the semester, our children are not going to perform well at schools.
Officials with the cooperative ministry say they will ensure that similar cooperatives are set up in various residential areas of Western Baal-Ghazal, where unemployed citizens can also access the food at reduced prices. The state expects to purchase a total of 111 tons of food supplies to sell to workers at 11 different state ministries. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, reporting in WOW.
A South Sudanese activist began a hunger strike outside the White House yesterday to plead for U.S. intervention in South Sudan. Simon Deng says he won't end his hunger strike until President Barack Obama pledges to help end the almost 18-month-old conflict in South Sudan. Karen Zaivogo met with Deng in Lafayette Square opposite the White House, where he was surrounded by tourists, including 14-year-old Cora from Ohio, who read part of a letter that Deng wrote to U.S. President seeking his help.
Dear Mr. President, South Sudan only exists as an independent country today thanks to the United States of America. Being a native South Sudanese man and a U.S. citizen, I should feel nothing but pride over my new country's role in midwifing the birth of South Sudan. Indeed, as an activist, I helped push the U.S. government to play a more active role in the region. But instead today, I feel only shame, embarrassment, and sorrow.
What I said in that letter explained exactly what action that we need from him. No one can bring the peace between the two fighting parties in southern Sudan. Only person is American leadership. It is they whom are responsible to that country, and it is they who will bring the solution today.
IGAD, the regional East African bloc, has been trying since January 2014, so more than a year, to bring peace to South Sudan. They have failed. If the United States steps in, what can they do differently?
Indeed, as you mentioned, the IGAD has been working day and night to reconcile and bring peace between the two parties. But IGAD themselves alone, with no big power behind it, IGAD alone, without the U.S. behind that peace agreement, they cannot deliver.
Shouldn't it really be President Kiir and Riek Machar who bring peace back to South Sudan?
Even I said in my letter that I don't look at them as leaders. I look at them as rulers from hell. Because they indeed was the one who fought to deliver that country, who fought to liberate that country, who fought for the freedom of that. But again, they turn around and they forgot why they pick up arms in the first place. They forgot why they put their life on the line for the southern Sudanese, for the people of southern Sudan in first place. What is the difference today between President Salva Kiir and Dr. Riek Machar and the person who was slaughtering southern Sudanese yesterday? In my eyes, they are all the same, because southern Sudanese are now dying in their hand. It will take somebody who is free to be the voice of those who have no voice. And that is why I'm here in front of the White House as a free man and talking to the leader of the free people and the leader of the free world. Look in the eyes of those who are suffering in southern Sudan. For God's sake, this has happened to be human like any other human being. Southern Sudan is an American baby, and that baby is dying, and we're calling for the dad, who happened to be the United States, come and save your baby.
That was South Sudanese activist Simon Deng speaking outside the White House with South Sudan in Focus web editor Karen Zaivogo. Deng is in the second day of a hunger strike, which he says will continue until the United States steps in to help end the conflict in South Sudan. Forces loyal to a renegade SPLA commander in Upper Nile State say they have destroyed a South Sudan military reinforcement heading to Malakal. Spokesman for Agwelik Forces, Brigadier General Nyagwal Ajak Deng, says a boat loaded with armored vehicles and soldiers traveling from Reng was attacked by forces loyal to Major General Johnson Oling. Deng claims 172 members of the South Sudan Army were killed in the attack, and tanks and other heavy military equipment was captured.
We intercepted the coming of the boat, and because they know that our boat is on the way, heading to the side of Kaka, they are coming to reinforce their forces in Malakal, because they intend they want to come back to Malakal to retake Malakal. So they met at the area of Tangria. Our forces in the gunboat started fighting. So our gunboat fire, because it is well loaded with a lot of huge machine guns.
How many people died in that attack?
173 is the one that is counted, that died within the gunboat inside there. But for the rest, they jumped and many of them drowned because of boots and the uniforms.
Did you capture any military equipment?
We captured a lot, and it's very impressive. It's a very great achievement. 2 units of anti-aircraft, 37 millimeters. We capture 14.5, which is the one of the 4 barrels. Then we have a tank, T-55, 2 units.
And how many areas are under your control right now in Upper Nile State? Can you count the areas that are under the control of Agwilik forces?
We are in control of Amzarab. We are in control of Tunja. We are in control of Wikpanyika. We are in control of all those areas along the Nile, even until you come to Kaldak, to Ganal, you know, until you reach to Malakal. You come to Dolet. You go to the side of the Anagbiar and going toward Anagbiar. And then you come to Malakal town. From Malakal town, you spread along the Nile, and then you go to up to opposite of Kodok.
When is this fighting going to end? People are saying you must end the fighting.
You know, the fighting will end with the government of Juba of injustice, because what they did to us is very painful, and we cannot be humiliated, and it is about to defend our dignity. Because, in fact, their intention is just to crush us completely. And this is part of ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, Brigadier, the government in Juba has no tribe. It's not an ethnic entity. It is a government. Why do you refer to the conflict?
It is ethnic. I've already given my press release. I've explained everything. The government knows what they did. It cannot be done in a normal place where there's no ethnic policies.
But this sounds very worrying. This sounds like this war is taking a tribal and ethnic angle.
Even when the war started, the war is ethnic motivated war. Because if it was only issue of Riek Machar, they should have not gone on the civilian simply because of the unwear, because they are not carrying a gun.
What would you tell South Sudanese who would argue that you are all one, people of South Sudan, and you should not be fighting each other? Instead, you should be sitting down to find an end to this conflict.
In terms of just, we are one people, these are politicians who use this language, and especially those who are in the government. But the reality is that the tribalism, nepotism, corruption, all these things that is being exercised, there are few individuals who are highly placed who can do anything they want and they get away with it.
That's spokesman for Agwilik Forces, Brigadier General Nyagwala Jack Deng, speaking with me from undisclosed location in Upper Nile earlier today. We could not reach South Sudan Army spokesman Colonel Philip Aguer for comments on this story. There is no independent confirmation of this attack from non-governmental organizations operating in Upper Nile. South Sudanese rebels have reportedly captured a site of an oil refinery near the country's main oil fields. Hilary Hiller has details from VOA's East Africa Bureau in Nairobi.
A spokesman for rebels loyal to South Sudan's former vice president, Riek Machar, say rebel forces have captured an oil refinery in Upper Nile State. The refinery is near one of the country's largest working oil fields, Paloch. James Dock said in a statement they had done so in order to deprive the government of oil revenues used to fight the country's ongoing civil war. UN Mission to South Sudan spokesperson Ariane Cantier says she was aware of Dock's claims but could not confirm them. An analyst at the Juba-based Sud Institute, Jok Madot Jok, says none of the refineries in South Sudan are operational, but the move could still affect the war by frightening foreign oil companies.
There will have repercussions for the confidence of the oil companies operating there in terms of whether they should continue to produce or should withdraw their staff. because the closer the rebels get to the production fields, the more likely that the oil companies will say we have to halt production and take our people out of harm's way.
Doc also said the rebels had asked foreign oil companies to remove their staff and close the fields to avoid damaging them. Despite several ceasefire agreements, South Sudan has experienced a surge in violence in recent weeks. Rebel forces launched an assault Friday in Malakal, and the East African bloc IGAD, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, says government troops have been targeting civilians and committing human rights abuses. The UN Children's Fund says children in particular are being targeted. With the government entirely dependent on oil revenue from the few oil fields still operating, any fighting nearby is a high-stakes game, says Jock.
If the rebels take control of the actual productive oil fields, then they could probably bring the war to a close very quickly. They have no any other source of income for the government.
Last week, the United Nations and international aid groups evacuated their humanitarian staff from Unity State, next to Upper Nile, leaving hundreds of thousands in need of food and medical services. Hilary Hewler for VOA News, Nairobi.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, how are residents in Wau handling major drugs shortages? Find out when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's your favorite food?
My favorite food is walwal. This is the normal food for Dinka. That is cooked by my mother at home there. They just do it like a karanga, but with water in it. That is what is walwal. It's just a focho, then water, and also they add sugar, give it there, milk, and okay, butter.
Exactly, matoke and chicken. That is it. Because I like it. I'm coming from... It is very special to me because I grew up using matoke at my homestead, Masaka.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about drug shortages. The deteriorating economy has not only affected food prices, but the cost of medicine as well. In Wau, some people complain they can no longer afford life-saving medicine for their children. Michael Atit has the story for VOA from Wau.
Raquel Etom Rabe is the mother of three boys. Last week, when her younger son was diagnosed with malaria, she took him to a pharmacy in Wau to buy a treatment. But when she got to the pharmacy, she was astonished to find out that the price of one course of malaria treatment for children cost 35 South Sudanese pounds, nearly twice as much as it did 2 months ago. Raquel says, medicines prices these days are a big problem. You might have 20 South Sudanese pounds, but you cannot afford to buy a medicine for your child. She said her son is sick with malaria and she does not have enough money to buy the medicine he needs. Filberto Tibur has run this pharmacy in Wau for more than 3 years. He says many of the drugs he sells are brought into South Sudan from neighboring countries like Uganda, Kenya, and Sudan. Tibur says not only have these expenses gone up, but the rains and the poor roads make it difficult for pharmacies to obtain enough drugs to meet customers' demand. He says he is worried that he might run out of some basic drugs.
The drug which is in the store, when it's got finished, we do not know where we have to go because the road is terrible. And as the stores who are in Juba, the rate now has gone higher. And to hire a vehicle from Juba and then you take all your load up to Wau here, you get a lot of dictation on the road.
Abazar Abu Zaid buys wholesale medicine from suppliers in Khartoum and sells them in Wau. He says the border conflict between Sudan and South Sudan and unfavorable exchange rates for hard currency are making it difficult to buy drugs. Abu Zaid says it takes many days for the delivery trucks to reach Wau. and they have to pay a lot of tax at the various checkpoints along the road from Sudan to South Sudan. Abu Zaid says, when there is a conflict on the border between the two countries, their truck that carried drugs will be detained somewhere and sometime it gets spoiled on the way. During this rainy season, he says, they cannot provide as much as they could during the summer. So they raise the prices due to the situation of the market. Isaac Cleto Real is the Western Bahr el-Ghazal State Minister of Health. He admits South Sudan's ailing economy is affecting the cost of the medicines. Real says his ministry is working hard to provide drugs that people need to treat common diseases like malaria.
So yes, there will be a rise. It's happening in all the commodities that is happening. But we put it very clear. In case of emergencies, we as government avail the emergency drug. The life-saving drugs must be availed and close and attend to the patients. The other drugs that come, especially when they come for the season of malaria and other diseases of the rainy season, the stores that we have will be overwhelmed by the number of patients that come.
As South Sudan's economy declines, prices for just about everything are rising sharply. Experts cite a number of reasons, including that government coffers are nearly empty because oil exports, which are the backbone of the economy, have fallen by around half since the country erupted in violence in December 2013. They also note that exchange rate for U.S. dollars has risen by around 300%, making it difficult for South Sudanese to buy dollars to pay for imports. Then, there is a poor infrastructure in South Sudan, which makes it difficult to get the few goods that merchants can buy into the shops and market stalls in South Sudan where people buy them. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit reporting in WOW.
We have reported to you before that the plight of South Sudanese children in the almost 17-month-old conflict. Today, the United Nations Children's Fund is charging that dozens of children in Unity State have been raped, abducted and murdered during the recent uptick in fighting. Mungome Devs Rakarinj has this story for VOA from Juba.
UNICEF's South Sudan Country Director, Jonathan Vieh, says UNICEF investigators discovered that many children have been abused and at least 19 youth have been killed in recent clashes.
A clear picture has emerged of widespread child rights abuses that constitute serious violations of international law. This includes widespread sexual violence against women and girls and the killing and maiming of children, and also the forced recruitment of children into armed groups.
VH says his team recorded testimony from people who described inhuman acts committed during the latest wave of violence.
Somebody called Teresa, who's 27 years old, she said to us that when we ran away, we heard that they were taking women and children. Children over 12 were killed. I saw some children killed. I have three brothers, 13, 14, and 25 years old, and they all went to the north because they knew they would be killed if they came to Bentiu. The soldiers were shouting that they were going to kill them. They said that they were going to kill all of the young men and all of the boys.
Aid workers say it is even more difficult to provide support for people who have fled into the bush. Unfortunately, VH says children have been both the victims and perpetrators of the recent violence. He says some boys and girls as young as 10 have been mutilated or recruited to join the fighting and care for stolen cattle. VH says UNICEF is engaging both the government and the opposition to stop the abuse of innocent children.
They're giving assurances and they're going to look into the situation. So we look forward to that investigation. It's very important that any crimes like this are investigated and that we stop these grave violations against children. But the most important thing is to stop the fighting right now and to enable humanitarians to access all populations wherever they are in South Sudan.
UNICEF says it has received more than 1,700 former child soldiers from former Kobla militia factions since the beginning of the year. They hope to reunite all those children with their families. But that number does not come close the thousands of children who have become child soldiers. VH estimates at least 13,000 children have been recruited by all parties involved in the conflict. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
Meanwhile, the administrator for the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, David Yaoyao, today personally returned four children allegedly abducted by Murle tribesmen in Bor County last year. The children were positively identified in Greater Pibor's Kabol village last month. As Jacob Achek reports for VOA from Juba, the children were handed over to officials with the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare.
Greater Pibor Chief Administrator David Yaoyao says Bayside accompanying the four children is busy to Bor was designed to improve the relationship between the Jonglo State Government and his administrative area. Yaoyao said if anything is taken in the form of cattle or human being, Greater Pibor officials must return people or property to their rightful owners, and the criminal must face justice. He said that he is very happy to cooperate with his counterparts in Jonglo State so that they can reunify children abducted by criminals. Yaoyao called on South Sudanese leaders to use every mechanism available so that peaceful solution can be reached to problem in communities across the country. Bor County Commissioner Mamerug welcomed the positive move by Greater Pibor Administrative Area officials. He said they are providing their willingness to work for fees by reunifying abducted children with their families.
These are the indicators for peace. I cannot say that the adoption of children will stop, but all of us will join our hand collectively, the GPA and Jonglo State government, Greater Bor communities, to work for peace among our communities. And we are actually encouraging the administration of Greater Pibor. We see a session and we are going to cooperate with them.
GPAA Deputy Chief Administrator Joseph Lolimoy says more investigation continue so that other children are located and identified. He said the four children accompanying Yaoyao today were abducted earlier in 2014. According to report from local chiefs,
we are now trying to identify the children. As a matter of fact, according to the report that we received from the committee, they have identified four out of six, and still they're trying now to find the two.
Lolimoy says a total of six children were abducted in Kolnyang Payam in Bor County in March 2013 and taken to Kubol village. Four of the six were located and identified last month. Jonglo State officials said that since the peace accord was signed between the government of South Sudan and Cobra Faction former leader David Yaoyao in Ethiopia, cattle rustling and child abductions have been reduced significantly among various South Sudanese communities. For BOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Juba.
And that report by Jacob Achek brings us to the end of our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Fiso Talaga by CJ Oman. Fiso talaga, uda baba. Fiso talaga, uda baba. Zaman zuruf fi janatani ismu junu wele duwa fi zaman huruf abutomu tumakawaja umatomu tumajalaba unyarku de azuraba azu school azu medresa bitalaya azu mustashfa azu jamewo azu kenisa mofru irabau. You've been listening to CJ Oman with the song Fiso Talaga. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.